truly, you don't necessarily want every single thing you ever apply for. This is a two-way street. They are interviewing you, but you are genuinely trying to figure out, is this a good fit for me before I commit to it? You don't want to commit to a semester-long or a year-long internship where you were so focused on getting the internship that you forgot to really step back and assess if this was even a good fit for you or what you really wanted. And now you're committed and you're stuck and you're kind of regretting it.
The first time a teen has to put themselves out there with strangers, it's nerve-wracking and full of fear of what might go wrong. Julie Crenshaw is the number one best-selling author of Navigating and Avoiding Awkward Conversations, and today she shares tips for teens on how to do just that. You'll leave this episode with ways your teen can feel confident in their ability to express themselves and put their best foot forward. I'm Lisa Marka Robbins, and I want to welcome you to College and Career Clarity, a Flourish coaching production. Let's dive right in to a great conversation. It is my pleasure to welcome Julie Crenshaw, your conversation expert, to the podcast. Julie works with adults, teens, young adults in the space of getting comfortable, putting themselves out there, having confidence, knowing how to interact and how to follow up. So I thought, oh my word, this is the perfect person to come on and help instill confidence in our parents who are trying to guide their teens and their teens. This might be an episode they want to share with their teen or young adult to really know how to put themselves out there as they're interacting with future employers, people that they want to do job shadows with, colleges, because it can be scary. Julie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I think this is going to be a great topic.
It's a much needed topic. There's a lot of people in the space of working with these college-bound families and coaching the families. I truly believe the college-bound journey is a family journey, not just the student's journey. But this is an area that I think it is a difference maker because it's scary. And yet there's not a lot of stuff out there or a lot of people coaching in the space that you're coaching. So thanks for making the time.
Absolutely. And I have found the same thing. It's amazing how many resources are out there that cover so many facets of what a person needs to do to be successful, but not the interpersonal skills piece. So it's so interesting because, in my opinion, that's the make or breaker. Skills are usually what's going to get you across the finish line of whatever it is you're trying to accomplish, or potentially backfire. We'll talk about that a little bit today too.
Yes, 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 yes. The skills will get you across the finish line of what you're trying to accomplish. But at the same time, it's actually the first piece of this as well, right? It's the first thing that you need to do when you reach out. Like inside our Launch Career Clarity course, and we should tell everybody, for this fall cohort, you are one of our bonus teachers. So you're going to do a deeper dive with the students inside the course. But I was like, oh, we've got something for everybody. Let's do a podcast on this as well. So I'm excited that that's upcoming. But this putting yourself out there, you know, this week we were having our launch live that we have with our families that are in the course. And we were talking about like starting to build your network and just putting yourself out there with something as simple as if you're on LinkedIn as a student, which totally is something that they can and should do, in my opinion. I actually have a LinkedIn builder's guide, which I'll link to in the show notes. But just hitting that button to connect, like not even having to say something. And there were students that felt scary to. And I thought, oh, goodness. And a couple of weeks in the course, I'm teaching them how to put themselves out there and ask for job shadows or do an informational interview about somebody's job. So getting started is hard. Talk to us about how to even get started and not be just overwhelmed and frozen in anxiety.
Yes. Well, first of all, it's totally understandable that that would be intimidating. So I don't want to chastise anybody to say you shouldn't be nervous, because it's understandable You're putting yourself out there for the first time. You want to make a good impression. You don't want to mess it up. And I totally get that. So I don't want anybody to feel like there's something wrong with them for being nervous. But one of the things to keep in mind that I think always helps me when I'm putting myself out there and feeling those jitters of, ooh, this is a big person, or this is somebody I really want to connect with, I want to make a good impression, is to remember that what that person really wants is just to get to know me better. They're not judging me for who I am or how I'm answering these questions. They're just trying to better understand what I'm trying to accomplish. You know, I want to work with them. Maybe it's a job. Maybe I'm trying to apply to grad school. Maybe I just want to learn from them. Maybe I just want to be more familiar with their work. And they are simply just trying to figure out who I am, what I'm about, what I need, maybe how they can help. Because from my perspective, if someone's reaching out to me, one of my first thoughts is, okay, how can I help you? What is it that you're wanting that I can help to provide for you?
I think that's so true. People who love what they do, or let's say it's a college tour guide or an admissions officer or someone that has a job that they love and you're possibly exploring, could this job be the right fit for me? They are excited usually to be a resource and share about their expertise.
Right. And it's not commitment. It's not like, well, I'm trying to learn more about this, so now I've signed a 40-year contract to work for this company or whatever it is. The person understands that you're trying to learn because they've been there themselves, where they're just trying to explore their options. They're trying to better understand what's out there. So they're not, if that takes some of the pressure off too, they're not expecting a commitment out of you just because you reached out to them. They understand that you are trying to gather information and learn. And that is part of what they're there for, is just to help give you that information that you're looking for, or help explain whatever it is to you that you're coming to them for. So it's a lot more casual than it may feel.
That's so true. I always say, focus also on being interested instead of interesting. Like, don't overthink, oh gosh, I got to be out there and I've got to just blow their socks off. Like, it's just a conversation at this point. And even being interested in them, you know, if you're setting up to do like, hey, can I talk to you about your job? I want to learn more about what it would mean to be a civil engineer.
Right.
And so just be interested in them. And then I think, like, the conversation becomes, whether it's an email or an actual conversation, it just kind of flows and becomes more natural. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes. And they don't expect you to have tons and tons of experience. They understand that you're 16, 17, 18. They've been there themselves. Everybody had to start at ground zero at some point. I may have X number of years experience doing this after X number of years of college to learn how to do it. But at one point I was 18, just trying to figure out who in the world I was and what I wanted to do and what I was interested in. So why would I expect differently from you? Why would I expect you to know everything and have all this experience and all this? I'm a realistic person. The people that you're speaking to are realistic. They understand the stage of life that you're in, and that it's a very explorative, learning, information gathering stage. And they want to help support you to be able to make the decisions maybe faster than they did, to understand if what they're doing is a good fit or not. They want to help you.
Do you have any tips for, like, let's say that I'm a student and I've been heavily invested in, and this is an interesting one to me. I see this a lot. I see a lot of people who are exploring maybe health sciences, healthcare, and a lot of those people have a love for music. I see it a lot. And I meet a lot of adult physicians and nurses and people in healthcare who have a side gig as, like, I'm still in a band, or I sing at church, or that's not an uncommon connection, but yet it feels wonky because, like, being a musician could not be further from organic chem, right? So let's say I want to talk to a doctor about, okay, what is your job? And I don't really have a list of extracurriculars that align with that job. How would you tell a student to navigate something like that?
You never know where that person came from. I actually have one of my good friends, neighbor across the street, is a retired cardiovascular surgeon. He's an avid trumpet player. He loves jazz music. And one of the things he has always done his whole career was do these jazz band gigs on his rare day off. For him, that was an instant connection with me. So I started out as a French horn player. My first major in school was music performance, because that's what I wanted to do, was play in an orchestra forever. And then I had this 180 shift my junior year where I switched to exercise science. And I definitely felt like the odd girl out. I mean,
I bet.
Else in this room was like track star, football star, softball star. They were there on a swimming scholarship. And here I am like, I like band. <You know? laughs> I felt very like not typical. And so then when I was going to apply to grad school, I did kind of have it in my head that there was something a little bit weird about me, or that there was something that was a little not on track, that everybody else had this very sports oriented track, this very healthcare obsessed or health fitness guru obsessed track. And here I was with a whole lot of experience with marching band and district band and orchestra and competition band. And those were my experiences. And at first I thought that that was a detriment and that it made me less prepared. But what I found out once I started getting into these interviews was that a lot of people found that really interesting because it was different than what other people had to say. So it was just a different conversation they were getting to have. But a lot of them had also been in some type of music band or chorus or something. And so it was a connection point for us. And same thing with my neighbor. We did both end up in healthcare, me as a physical therapist and him as a surgeon, but we also both had a rooted love for music. So it was multiple points of connection. And that actually just made it even faster for us to get to know each other and feel that similarity and really hit it off. So talk about those things that you like to do. You never know what somebody else's journey is.
Yeah, don't make that assumption, right? Because two, I think it also takes the pressure off. And when I'm working with the teens and young adults inside our course, I say to them like, okay, yes, you are asking for an informational interview or a job shadow. And hopefully maybe that leads to an internship if you're finding that, yes, that could possibly be a good fit for you. But instead of leading with this end result of, I've got to land the job shadow, or I've got to land the coffee after school or hot chocolate if you're a teenager mm-hmm. not drinking coffee. Look at making a connection. Mm-hmm. Look to build connections instead of that end result, like I'm landing the job shadow. Like, because then I think the conversation becomes a lot easier when you're just looking to be interested and connect with others.
Yes. And truly, you don't necessarily want every single thing you ever apply for. This is a two-way street. They are interviewing you, but you are genuinely trying to figure out, is this a good fit for me before I commit to it? You don't want to commit to a semester-long or a year-long internship where you were so focused on getting the internship that you forgot to really step back and assess if this was even a good fit for you or what you really wanted. And now you're committed and you're stuck and you're kind of regretting it a little bit. You're also there to learn. You're also there to decide if this is a mutual good fit. And that is not just internships, that is jobs. When you're out in the field, when I'm doing an interview for a job that, you know, I'm the one trying to get the job, I am just as interested in making sure that this job is a good fit for me, because I would much rather walk away knowing, okay, nope, I thought that was going to be a good fit, but it is not, than to be so focused on trying to get the job that I get in it and then I really regret it because it wasn't a good fit after all.
Through those great conversations on the front end, mm-hmm. to your point, have the conversation. Don't be so focused on the goal, because you might discover something that you're like, I'm going to have to, if I'm a 17-year-old and that particular school year internship might take every single Saturday away from me. It could be as simple as, yeah, that industry is still a good fit for me, but this particular internship would take away from some other things that are really important to me, maybe. And yes. So look at this as discovery. I always say, like, hold things loosely. This week inside our Launch Career Clarity course, the students are getting ready to get their jobs list. Okay. So they are actually today, Sarah on our team is sending them from taking their Berkman personality assessment, this list in descending order. Like, you look a lot like the people who did this job and love it. And you look at the bottom of the list, nothing like the people that are doing this job and they love their job, right? But when they go into that, a lot of the students have these preconceived ideas. And so my advice is, and I think it applies here going into these conversations, hold these things loosely. Don't have like a death grip on them, like this has to work out, right? Because it's a learning process.
Yep. And you may find out that what you thought that job or interview was going to be like really isn't it at all. You may have seen the title and the title looked like a good fit. And when you get into the interview, asking questions like, what are the things that I'm going to be doing as part of this internship? Or what are the expectations of me? Or what are the job responsibilities? Because we've got a local college here. They have a huge animal sciences program. And first semester, freshman year, they've got you in the barn shoveling, right? Because they want you to understand this job is not all sunshine and rainbows.
That is not glamorous.
Messy. Right. And so they want you, and I love the way that they structure their program because they're trying to help you understand the parts that may not be so glamorous, because they want you to have an informed decision. Anything that you do is going to have highlights and lowlights. And so you need to be okay with all of those, not just thinking, oh, I'm going to get to birth all the baby cows or whatever it is that in your head that you thought was amazing. You might also be like trimming cows' toenails and shoveling the barns out and things that are kind of smelly and gross and not glamorous and not fun. So there may be parts of that job that you're thinking, oh gosh, that would be amazing. That would just be a miracle. That would be the best thing I ever did. And then you go in and ask, well, what's my day-to-day look like? What are the things I'm going to be expected to do? And there's really only like one thing on that list that sounds really great. And the rest of the list, you're going, ooh, that was not what I thought. And how wonderful that you found that out in the interview and in those pre-conversations, instead of agreeing to the job or the internship or whatever, and then getting in there and going, I'm so miserable. I wish I had known this is what I was getting into.
I always say it's not a failure if you learned something and it moved you towards clarity and being informed on what you're going to do. So we've got to have that mindset shift of it's not a failure, right?
Right. Yep.
Now, there are probably some things that students shouldn't bring up when they're emailing or reaching out to connect or having these conversations where they're being curious and interested. So what tips do you have? Because I think even as adults, we sometimes can trip over ourselves, but even more so if you're inexperienced at this, when you're just first starting to do it as a 16, 17, 20, 22 year old. So what maybe should be avoided?
Yeah. And I do talk about this a lot in my content, because one thing that person is trying to do, they are trying to just figure out who you are and they want to help. But if they're going to bring you on as an employee or an intern or student, they're stuck with you for a little while. So they're trying to make sure that you're a good fit, that your personality is going to fit well, that you're going to be enjoyable to be around. So some of the questions that they're asking you, they are trying to figure out, are you someone who's going to add to the experience here? Or are you someone that may possibly make things a little worse, maybe a little bit more drama than they're looking for? And so when they're asking you questions such as, tell me about the jobs you've done before, or tell me about a time when something happened that was a conflict and how'd you handle it? Or tell me about a time when you maybe had a miscommunication with a supervisor. You want to be very careful that the way that you're explaining these situations is in a positive light, that you've learned something from this situation, that you figured out a mutual solution to this situation. Because if you are a little too upfront with comments such as, well, that person was just being a jerk, or I had this really mean supervisor who was always forcing me to do all this stuff I didn't want to do. Those sorts of things might throw up some red flags to that person to go, was it really the supervisor? Was it not? I don't know. I don't know if I want to take the risk on that. So anytime that you're relaying something negative, you have to understand that no matter how true it may feel to you from your point of view, that other person is not inclined to just take you at your word that you were a saint and the other people were definitely the problem and you didn't contribute to it at all. So you just want to be really careful when you're answering those questions that you're talking a little bit more about the lessons that you learned. You know, well, I had this miscommunication that happened with a customer at work. You know, I worked retail in my younger years, but we were able to figure out that actually this had just happened. And that helped me to realize that next time, if I see them with a coupon that's expired, I need to make sure and tell them up front instead of waiting till the end, because that helped me to learn to have better customer service or something like that. So instead of saying these customers were always yelling at me all the time and it was so stressful, what's a way that you can take a lesson learned from that? What's something that you're going to take with you moving forward? Nobody's perfect and nobody has perfect experiences, but are you able to learn? Are you able to grow? Are you able to see where maybe you didn't do something exactly right? You don't want to throw yourself under the bus completely. You don't want to overshare. You don't want to say how you accidentally like set the fire alarm off in the building and everybody evacuate for half a day. That might not be the story to tell, right? So you want to just choose what you're relaying carefully, because you want to make sure that you are showing yourself as a team player, as somebody who can learn, somebody who can grow, somebody who can admit when they maybe didn't do something perfectly, but now I've figured out that if I do it this way, that that's better. That's the energy that you should be approaching those questions and answers with.
So wise. All of the advice that you're giving makes me think like we just need to be intentional. And we need to be prepared. Like, don't just shoot off the email without drafting it and thinking through the lens of what you're sharing with us, right? Am I making connections? Am I sharing maybe something unique about myself? Am I interested instead of just trying to be interesting? I've got a PDF that explains to students a framework even for emailing, but like, I'm just thinking like draft the email, run it by an adult in your world, mm-hmm. take it through the filter, Julie, of what you're giving us and be prepared. If I'm going to go into like an interview, you're going to get those hard questions. What are some of the lessons you learn and how mm-hmm. you can do it? So preparation sounds like the name of the game here, because if you're prepared, it's probably going to instill confidence heading into those conversations.
Yes. And one last little thing I would want to make sure and bring up, because this is really important. And a lot of times you might be asked questions that you don't have a great answer for those questions. Maybe you've never had a job before. This is your first one. And they're asking you something like, where have you worked before? How many jobs have you had? And the answer is just none. And you don't really want to just go, no, I've never worked before, and then just let the silence hang in the air. What I'll tell people a lot is you don't have to answer a question exactly the way it was asked of you if you don't have a great answer for that question. So you might offer something instead. So if they may say, have you ever had a job before, instead of just going, no, and then dead silence, you can say, no, I haven't done a job before because I'm really involved in band or the debate team, or I've been doing softball since I was 4 years old and I'm on these different tournament teams. That's something that I'm really passionate about. And you're helping them to get to know you better. You're helping them to understand who you are, because that's truly what they're trying to figure out is who are you and what are your experiences and what are you like? What are the things that you like? So if someone asks you a question in one of those moments that you're going, I don't really have a great way to answer that, see if there's something a little bit related. If it's just more about spending your time. Have you had a job is how you're spending your time? Well, no, because I've been doing this other group or team or what have you. Maybe you don't have a team. Maybe you're just saying, I have not had a job before because I've really been focused on my school stuff. But now that I feel like I've got that you know, where I want it, I feel like I'm ready to branch out and add to what I'm doing. So you
That's such great advice. Yeah.
Figuring out a way to answer those questions in a way that keeps the conversation going is the perfect way to handle it.
Pure gold. Well, thank you, Julie. Thanks for making time today. I'm excited to have you on for our bonus class for our students inside the launch course. But you, for those that aren't in the course right now, you've given lots of great insights. Where's the best way for people to follow or connect with you and see all the great things that you have?
The easiest place to go is my website, which is yourconversationexpert.com. And I have links to my socials and my courses and my one-on-one coaching and all the good things on that website. I'm also on Instagram at yourconversationexpert. And I'm on Facebook/yourconversationexpert. So
you're at all the places. Okay. Yeah. I know people are going to want to follow you. Thanks, Julie.
Thank you.
The students in my Launch Prior Clarity course always get nervous when I ask them to start building their network, ask for that first job shadow, or email a college admissions officer. With Julie's advice in this conversation and my email templates that I've linked to in the show notes, students will be on the right path with confidence. My College Bound challenge this week for your family is to have your student take action. It might be calling the doctor's office to make their next appointment, emailing a college admissions officer with a non-obvious question that can't easily be answered on their website, or asking someone for a job shadow. Have them practice with you first, then give it a try with you by their side. Remember, we first demonstrate for them, watch them do it, then send them out with confidence, just like we did when they were little, and we were teaching them to walk or tie their shoes. It's just the challenges are a bit bigger now, but the reward is much greater. If today's episode was helpful to you, please share it with a friend who needs this too. By doing so, you are impacting the future for many as we banish overwhelm and instill confidence one teenager at a time. Speaking of time, if you have a minute, please rate or review the podcast to help us move more families toward college and career clarity.